This is an iHeart podcast.
Whatever team Fia is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Newton Group Transfer. They are here to help you if you're stuck in a timeshare. These stories from people who have these timeshares and can't get out of them, they're shocking. These timeshare companies, not all of them, but so many, they get their hooks into you and you can't give them up. You can't give them up. Or they'll do things like they charge you thousands of dollars. One girl, she got past her timeshare when her mother passed away. She gets past the timeshare, doesn't want the timeshare, doesn't use the timeshare. They tell her she can get out of it for $4,000. She has to come up with a $4,000 check. This is not right. It's unjust. And Newton Group Transfers is here to help you. If you are in a timeshare and want out or know someone who is, call 888-845-3773. That's 888-84-JESSE or go to timesharejesse.com. Newton Group Transfer. They will help you out.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
I want you to imagine something. I want you to imagine you and your 400 men landing at a little clearing surrounded by jungle mountains, thinking you're just going out on a pretty routine action and finding out you're surrounded by 1,600 men who want to murder you. Yeah, we're going to get to that story in a second. It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and it's going to be a doozy of a day. I am finally going to speak about what happened in Minnesota with that shooting and the looting and everything else. In case you're wondering why I didn't speak about it yesterday, I am the only person left in the United States that actually sits back and waits and listens and watches until I have the facts before I comment on something. I understand in this social media day and age, everybody has to be first. I don't have to be first. Johnson & Johnson. Uh-oh. There's been a call by the FDA to halt the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. Blood clots. I'm going to give you my honest take on the vaccine and Johnson & Johnson and everything else. We have an awesome show for you today on the Jesse Kelly Show. But first, oh, and don't forget, we have in the last hour, former Air Force PJ BK's joining us. I'm going to ask him, because he's been far to the left of me and all the vaccine COVID stuff. I'm going to ask him his take on the vaccine stuff. But first, let's rewind a bit. Let's go back to, well, shoot, even French Indochina is not going to be good enough. Let's go back to World War II-ish. World War II-ish. And what we're going to be talking about today is Vietnam, what you know as Vietnam. But we have to do a brief setup on it to understand what kind of people we're dealing with over there. One of the things I love so much about history is the more you read about it, listen to a podcast on it, watch a TV show about it, the easier it is to learn the rest of it because it all bleeds together. You learn one subject and all of a sudden you get a little curious, well, what happened? What happened before this? Oh, that's really interesting. That explains how they got there. Well, wait, where did that go after? Oh, I get it. That one thing led to another. It always builds on itself. I get people who email in or call in all the time, and how do you know so much about history? One, I don't know so much about history. I just geek out on it, so I dig into it and learn it. Two, like I said, once you get a base of knowledge about something, it just builds on itself. Seemingly unrelated things will build on themselves. Learning about how the Netherlands colonized Cape Cod helped me understand today's story even better. Or not Cape Cod, the Cape of Good Hope. It all bleeds into one another. France. France was running French Indochina. French Indochina was Vietnam, Cambodia, and Laos. That's what you would know that as today. It's Southeast, all you need to know, Southeast Asia, jungle. No, it's not that big, Chris. It's not that big. It's not small, but it's not that big. But this was the colonial era. Prior to World War II, France was running things down there. In France, it depends on who you talk to, I guess I should say, when it comes to how they colonized this. Historically, France was actually pretty stinking good about how they colonized places. When I say good, I mean as far as living conditions for the natives. Like, we ran into this in the United States of America, where Britain wanted to colonize and did colonize this place. Britain was much more purposeful about it. It was, okay, Indians, hi, guys. Yeah, I'd like to be friends. If not, that's fine, whatever. Just guess what? We're building a huge fort here. If you cause any trouble, we'll bring in some troops and murder you all. Good to go? Sound good. Okay. They were very more what you think of colonizing. France didn't necessarily do that. There's a reason the French and Indian War was fought, only it was France and the Indians fighting the Brits. France was often very, very, very cordial with the tribes or with the native peoples wherever they moved in. Hey, let's be pals. Oh, America, American Indians. Hi, guys. Should we trade first? Should we be friends? Yeah, I guess we should. Let's do that. They did the same kind of thing everywhere they went. Understand, there's nothing new under the sun. These superpowers back in the day, especially Britain and France and Spain, and those are the big ones, when they were bouncing all around the world, they had a colonizing playbook. Oh, there's this new land discovered. Well, what's step one? Step one, we got to move in there. Step two, only was a different playbook for each nation, but they all kind of did it the same way. France, when they moved into then French Indochina, we'll just call it Vietnam for the rest of the show because that's about the last time I'm going to go through saying that word. When they moved into Vietnam, they really tried to do it the same way. And with virtually the same results. They were, at least initially, getting along pretty stinking well with the Vietnamese people who were there. And remember, I know what your college professors told you, and America's evil, and colonization's evil, and everything's evil, and one, it's just called conquering, okay? It's the history of the world. Two, it's not always evil. It certainly can be. It's not always evil. France moved in there, and did they, put their will on the people of Vietnam? No question about it. You're going to do the things I want you to do. You're going to do them when I want you to do them. However, if you're a tribal people, a native people of a nation that's being colonized, Let's not sit here and pretend you don't get any bennies from being colonized. All of a sudden, you have, wow, roads, really nice infrastructure, schools. Oh, wait a minute, what's that? Our average life expectancy basically doubled? Oh, I can't imagine. Oh, it turns out modern medicine actually is really important. You mean you have to brush your teeth? No way. I had no idea. And you get the protection of having Big Daddy colonial power standing behind you. Yeah, he gets to take your lunch money when he wants, but guess what? No one else does. No one else does. Until Japan comes along. Along comes World War II. And Japan, I'm not going to go into this. I've gone into it 1,000 times because I love the subject. And I'll go into it 1,000 more. Just don't have time for it today. Japan bows up, stomps into French Indochina, and says, sorry, France, get out. It's ours now. And France takes over. Japan takes over. Now, understand, when I say all colonization is not evil, I mean that, but some of it is. You really don't want to be colonized by Japan around World War II era. I'm not putting them down because you know I'm a fan, but man, they did not treat other peoples, any other peoples, well. Japan takes over French Indochina, and they proceed to treat it like an ATM machine of supplies, because this is part of the Japan plan. Take all these lands, dig in, fortify them to make it too hard for the Allies to take them back, and then pillage them for all the supplies. What did that pillaging look like in Vietnam? Ooh, I'm about to tell you. And, on the vaccine. Hang on.
Stocky. Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly DC.
Jake's Mint Chew will help you quit dipping tobacco. And I am one of those people who really, really struggled quitting. And it's my own stupid fault. I started doing it when I was a teenager and just did it for years. I loved it. So it's my own fault. I'm not pointing any fingers, but as someone who did it for years, I really, really struggled quitting. I'm almost ashamed to say it. I even used a nicotine patch at one point. Nothing worked for me. Jake's Mint Chew actually works because what I needed a fix of having something in my lip. It was partially the nicotine, but I needed something in my lip. So whenever I wanted that dip after dinner or something like that, reach for Jake's Mint Chew, nicotine-free and tobacco-free. Go to jakesmintchew.com. That's jakesmintchew.com. Use the promo code Jesse for 20% off.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, 877-377-4373, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. I have a stack of good emails today. It's going to be a sweet day. Some crazy stories. This vaccine stuff. Chris, have you seen this vaccine stuff? Uh-oh. Chris, do me a favor. I have to finish my history story first. Look up. Sorry, sometimes we do the show research during the show, so you guys have to deal with it. Look up how many doses of that Johnson & Johnson vaccine have already been given out. Anyway, back to my story. Japan stomps into French Indochina, Vietnam, during World War II, for World War II, however you want to look at that, and says, okay, it's ours now. and they just absolutely pillage the place. And as the war goes on, and Japan starts losing, and Japan starts starving, the pillaging of Vietnam gets worse. It's considered pretty much a genocide that nobody knows about. We're talking a million Vietnamese people dead. A million. So if you're in Vietnam, you have been colonized and taken over by France. Many people were unhappy about it. And then you're promptly colonized and taken over by Japan and slaughtered. A million dead is just, it's an incomprehensible number. We're talking starved to death. And you can imagine the other things the Japanese would do to the Vietnamese people. I'm not going to elaborate on that, but it was bad. The war finally ends. And remember, this is such an odd time. I should do just a show just on this time. When World War II ended, Germany's defeated, France is Japan's defeated, and now you have the Soviet Union and France. Well, kind of France, but France wasn't in, but I guess they're back in. You remember, France lost. They weren't even in existence. And then you have Britain and America. And all these countries, they get together, and they have to kind of put Humpty Dumpty back together again. And a lot of people criticize a lot of the moves that were made post-World War II, and I do too. That's totally fair. But in their defense, it's not like anyone had ever had to do that before. The entire world was just in a fight. Now, some countries don't even exist anymore. There are tens of millions of people dead, inhuman amounts of poverty and suffering and starvation. What do we do? So not every move that was made during that time was the right move or a great move. You're certainly not going to, if you're one of the major powers and you're trying to put Humpty Dumpty back together again, you're not going to turn around and say, hey, Vietnam, you know what? We're going to dedicate like a week to just you. I want to hear about you. No, they just said, all right, France, that's yours again. Go take care of it. Well, that sounds great on paper. Or looks great on paper. That sounds great in your meeting with France as you eat croissants or whatever they eat over there. But there are still people in Vietnam, Vietnamese people, who are all, excuse me? We were just pillaged by France and then just completely, virtually wiped out by the Japanese. And now you're just handing it right back to the French? This does not go well. And a man by the name of Ho Chi Minh rises. You would actually like Ho Chi Minh if he wasn't a dirty, filthy communist. Sadly, he was. But if he wasn't, you would like him because he is the upstart rebel, complete patriot, who decides he wants everybody, France, Japan, America, everyone, the heck out of his country, and he thinks they should govern themselves. You would root for that guy in any movie if he wasn't a dirty communist. But he was a dirty communist, so we can't do anything about that. They fight a civil war. They fight a war against the French. The war against the French comes first. They kick the French out. I've already done a show on that before, the Battle of Dien Bien Phu. And then after that, they have something called the 1954 Geneva Accords. What those do is those split the country into what you would think of as the Vietnam War era country. North Vietnam, South Vietnam. And it's pretty much agreed upon. We're in the middle of the Cold War, remember, but it's pretty much agreed upon. Okay, North Vietnam, that's Ho Chi Minh and the commies. It's obviously backed heavily and openly by the Soviet Union and China. South Vietnam, they're backed by the United States of America and Britain and France, I should say, but we carried most of the load on that. But this is where we run into a big, big problem. Not only did the Soviet Union and China focus heavily on North Vietnam, giving them money and resources and infrastructure and trying to make a good little communist paradise there, but the North Vietnamese were simply more organized, more committed, and frankly, less corrupt. South Vietnam was always the problem with the Vietnam War in Vietnam as you know it. For whatever reason, people argue 1,000 reasons over it, weren't ready for capitalism, weren't ready to be free, whatever the case may be, they were just terribly corrupt. and we were sometimes backing coups against the government we had just put in to get rid of the current corrupt guy. It was a disaster. We start pouring money into South Vietnam because we are desperate to have the South withstand the North. This is under Eisenhower, and we're propping up an absolute mess. We don't want to talk about throwing good money after bad. We're propping a mess. They're just not able to do it. We start sending advisors in there and special forces groups in there. Remember, we had Green Berets in Vietnam a long time before there was a Vietnam. And what are they doing there? They're bouncing around the country trying to stabilize and prepare the various villages and tribes that are still litter the South Vietnamese countryside. They're going into a place, and look, it's standard hearts and minds stuff that you can imagine. Hey, everybody, gather around. This is an AK-47. This is how you use one. It points that way. Here's how you aim down the sights. And they're helping, too. You know, like I said, it's hearts and minds. It's not just military. It's, oh, here's a shot. Let me make sure we give you some vaccination, some medication. Maybe a bad day to bring up the vaccination, Chris, but let me make sure we give you this. Let me make sure we drill you a water well. Let's show you a better way to do this. Helping. Making friends. Then 1965 rolls along. I'm not going to go into the Gulf of Tonkin, all that stuff, but eventually, I can't say we declare war in Vietnam. Eventually, there's a resolution allowing Lyndon Johnson to go to war in Vietnam. It's really not constitutional at all. I mean, we haven't constitutionally declared war since World War II. Consider that. Not Korea, not Vietnam, not Afghanistan, not anything. But look, I'm not going to go off on a tangent. What, Chris? Yes, Chris said it's a police action. Indeed it is. Indeed it is. Just a brief police action. This police action ends up with us sending at least an initial surge of 60,000 troops over there. And what we're doing, first of all, it's called Operation Rolling Thunder. Don't worry about remember that name. It is a cool name, Chris. Yes, it is a cool name. Quit. All right. Don't worry about remembering the name. It means we're bombing them. We're aerial bombing them to dust. We're bombing the Ho Chi Minh Trail, which we knew about right away, to dust. And what was the Ho Chi Minh Trail? It wasn't a trail, first of all. It was a bunch of trails, some through Vietnam, some through Cambodia. And it was essentially the North Vietnam, funneling weapons, money, supplies, and people to the South to back the Viet Cong, the South Vietnamese guerrillas who were fighting against South Vietnam. They wanted it all to collapse. So we're bombing this trail, but it just keeps popping back up. They just keep rebuilding it. And North Vietnam, they've had about enough of it. They've decided they're going to start getting a little more aggressive. We're going to find out how that goes, and then we'll talk about this vaccine. Hang on. Eden Pure Thunderstorm. Go get yourself one. You know, I've always had an air purifier. And I will tell you, today in Houston, they're having warnings for people with asthma. That's how bad the air quality is. So I always have air purifiers. I've never had anything like the Eden Pure Thunderstorm. All my old air purifiers, yeah, they were those gigantic 2-3 foot towers that sound like an airplane taking off. Not my Eden Pure Thunderstorm. It's tiny. It goes in my outlet in the wall. It's just this tiny little quiet black thing. You never know it's there, except my allergies don't bother me. I walk from outside, inside, and I can taste how much cleaner the air is in my house. Go enjoy yours. Go to EdenPureDeals.com. That's EdenPureDeals.com. Use the promo code Jesse for $10 off. It is the Jesse Kelly Show. 877-377-4373. Jesse at jessekellyshow.com. We got all kinds of good emails. This one says, Highness, I was horrified when I heard you wore flip-flops. No normal person wants to see the feet of any man, let alone a 6'8" Wookiee Marine. That's not nice. Lastly, every time I see you on TV, you never disappoint. You on Ingram talking about people getting his tree chopped off in the military made my night. We all know you were referring to the Air Force. Love your godlike face in the show, but no more flip-flops. One thing, pal, one thing I will say this. It's not like I wear flip-flops all the time. I have normal just tennis shoes on right now. I don't wear flip-flops all the time. I wear cowboy boots lots of the time, lots of time tennis shoes. But let me stress this. Unless you live in the tropics like I do, here in the absolute swamp of Houston, you don't understand what it's like to experience putting on flip-flops for a weekend versus after wearing shoes all week long. Let those feet breathe. And I understand, look, feet are not pretty. I don't understand this weird foot fetish thing people have. I find it to be very odd. I'm not judging you. I just find it to be odd. But feet are gross. You walk on them. They're gross. And mine are twice as gross as those other feet. Because, like you said, the Marine Corps just wrecked them. And I don't have a single buddy, because I was in the infantry, I don't have a single buddy in the grunts who isn't in the same situation. You just now have calluses in different places. And they told us, they actually made fun of us when we were in. They're like, you think the human body is made to do what we're doing right now? It's not. It's not. You're wrecking yourself permanently. They thought it was funny. And frankly, it is kind of funny. But yeah, I'm wearing them anyway. I don't care. Back to my story. We start bombing the living heck out of North Vietnam after the Gulf of Tonkin incident. It's called Rolling Thunder. We're bombing the Ho Chi Minh Trail, bombing everything. And I should say this by now. Up to this point in time, yes, we have troops in South Vietnam, advisors there. We're bombing North Vietnam. We're doing all these things. But North Vietnam, for the most part, is avoiding confrontation with American troops because they're not sure quite yet, and neither are we, how much this conflict is going to escalate. Let's just keep attacking South Vietnam. We'll keep attacking these South Vietnamese guys or these guys. Just don't touch the Americans really yet. Well, the MVA decides, the MVA being the North Vietnamese Army, that's the regular army, not the men in the black pajamas, not the Viet Cong, that's the regular army. A general up there starts whispering in the ear of all the leadership and saying to them, look, I understand we had to fight this guerrilla war against France. We had to fight this guerrilla war against Japan. We can fight some regular battles too. Let me go down there. We know we're going to be in a fight with the Americans. Let me go down there, take a bunch of troops down there, and see what these Americans are made of. We don't know till we fight them. Let's go fight them. Right? He talks them into it. They agree. He goes stomping down into South Vietnam, and kind of the central part of South Vietnam. And what he does is he attacks a special forces base. A special forces base, I know what you're thinking. The second I say special forces base, you picture it's 300 bloodthirsty Green Berets that could take on an entire nation by themselves. No, if it was 300 Green Berets, they probably could take on an entire nation by themselves. But no, a special forces base would be a nominal amount of Green Berets, and then a bunch of indigenous troops that the Green Berets are training. So you'd have a bunch of South Vietnamese soldiers there. The Green Berets are really the ones doing most of the training. That is a close fight. Eventually the North Vietnamese back off, but that is a close fight. Which brings us to something we have to pause our story and talk about here, because the North Vietnamese Army now sets up shop in some rainforest mountain fortress. They start a training center. They're moving in. They're getting ready to start feeling around a little bit. Pause our story and go to the newest innovation that you don't even think of now but that was something brand new in Vietnam as far as using it for combat, and that something is called the helicopter. As you know, I despise helicopters. I just, on a macro level, I take a step back and I say to myself, that in no way is a machine designed to fly. If one little thing goes wrong, you're all dead. What's that screw that holds the thing on, Chris, you talked about? The Jesus nut, it's called. One nut. If it goes, you're dead. It's just, I mean, a plane engine goes out, you can glider on, and helicopter, you're not gliding anywhere. You go from flying to a stone. Anyway, be that as it may, if you're going to fight a war in Vietnam, you need to have something different because it's a different kind of battle. There's mountains, jungles, it's a different kind of terrain. The Americans, to our credit, learn how to use helicopters big time as the new mobile force. It's the new horse, essentially. What the horse always was, that's what helicopters became. And I know you think of helos, and I do too. The second I say helicopter in Vietnam, you know what you picture, that six-person helo that carries guys in and out with the machine gunner on the side. Just know there were a bunch of different kinds of helicopters. There were big ones that could carry 20,000 pounds. There were big troop carriers. There were the helo ones you're talking about. There were the gunships that had all kinds of guns on them and things like that, and those saved a lot of lives over there. There were a bunch of different kinds. Either way, the Americans, because of this attack on the Special Forces base, they now know there are North Vietnamese regular army troops in this particular area. They're not exactly sure where in this area, but they know they're in this area. And they want to know, well, how many of them are they? So you go seeking out intelligence. You find local sources. You do the various things you do to find out intelligence. And what is the word they get back? They keep getting the word. There's about 200 of them up there. Oh, okay. Well, let's not take any chances. We're Americans. It's time to take the fight to them. There's 200 of them. We're way better anyway than these dirtball Vietnamese. Let's gather up 400 troops. Let's swoop in there, patrol around on a search and destroy mission, see if we can't find those 200 and send them packing to hell. That was the plan. Lieutenant Colonel Hal Moore takes his 400 men. They all hop on helicopters and they take off towards this site. But I need to pause because I misspoke. They didn't all hop on helicopters. They only had so many helicopters. You could only land 48 men at a time at this little clearing in the jungle at the base of this mountain fortress. 48 men at a time. After those 48 men land, the helos must take off, fly 13 minutes back to pick up 48 more, and then fly 13 minutes back to drop them off. That means when you land, you are by yourself at the foot of a mountain fortress for 26 minutes. Do you have any idea how long 26 minutes is when you're getting shot at? Now, the Americans were going to try to do this right. They had artillery posted up about 5 miles away. They bombed the living smithereens out of this site. Well, I should say they artillery the site where they're going to land to death to make sure. Look, if there's someone surrounding it, I don't know, but there's no one in it anymore. I promise you that much. And they land 48 guys there. And then they began shuttling back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. Now, what happens is they run into a North Vietnamese guy, and he has something very interesting to say about what's going on in this particular area and how more he gets goosebumps at this moment. I'll tell you what that is in Vaccine Talk next.
Missed out?
Catch up.
JesseKellyShow.com.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
182 over 100. And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest. And then a stroke.
Your blood pressure numbers could change your life.
A lot of people don't understand, including myself, I didn't, now I do, the impact of having a stroke.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
Lowering your high blood pressure could save you from a heart attack or stroke. If you've stopped your treatment plan, restart it, or talk to your doctor about creating one that works better for you, start taking the right steps at manageyourbp.org.
It's a new life, but I'm going to make it better. I'll come back. Ask your doctor, check your blood pressure.
Brought to you by the American Heart Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Don't forget, we have the famous BK of World News with BK coming up in the final hour, former Air Force PJ. I'm sure he's going to have some things to say about the blood clot stuff. I have a bit of a different vaccine take on all this Johnson & Johnson stuff here in a minute, so give me a moment on that. I'm going to wrap up this battle here. Don't forget, you can find me on social media at JesseKellyDC on Instagram, Twitter. I'm on Facebook. I'm also on Locals. Locals is the one I can't be banned from. Everyone knows I've been suspended from all the others several times. I'll be banned permanently at some point. I keep waiting for it to happen, Chris, and I keep practically daring them to do it. But nothing yet. Nothing yet. I was, of course, on Fox News with Laura Ingraham last night and absolutely killed it, Chris. As I said, what? What? I was probably the best guest ever. I mean, I haven't heard from her, but I bet I was. Who knows? All right. Lieutenant Colonel Hal Moore. He's shuttling his troops back and forth, trying to land at the base of this mountain fortress in a clearing in Vietnam. He thinks there are 200 enemy there. They run into a North Vietnamese dude. The North Vietnamese dude has something interesting to say. In case you're wondering, the North Vietnamese dude, the way they ran into him, the guy was a defector. He had had enough, and he's like, hey, America, you look like you have better food. I'm hungry. He comes in, and they start interrogating him. Hey, what's up there? Where are we? Where is the enemy? What's going on? And they say to him, so we understand there are 200 men here. And the guy's all, no, you actually have 1,600 men surrounding you. You've landed in the middle of essentially a North Vietnamese Army training center. Here you are, you and your 400 dudes. You're surrounded by mass amounts of North Vietnamese, and the fighting breaks out, and it is severe. The shooting is coming from the thick jungle. It's absolutely, World War II levels of battle going on. The Americans are shooting back. People are dying on all sides. They're calling in artillery on the enemy. They're sending out patrols to find out exactly where the enemy is and to beat them back. One platoon gets a platoon, by the way, just consider that 30 guys. That's not an exact number, but a platoon's about 30 guys. I have to remember a lot of times you can get caught saying these things you think everybody understands, and they do not. About 30 dudes, they break off, and they get cut off from the rest of the force. And they try to fight their way back to the rest of the force, and they can't. There are too many North Vietnamese in between them and the rest of the force. These guys end up having to do like 30 hours out there by themselves fighting North Vietnamese as they're surrounded. And their platoon commander gets killed. And I forget the number. I think the next two or three guys in charge get killed. Ends up being some sergeant, some stud by the name of Ernie Savage, has to take over the platoon and keep his guys alive. Lost like a third of the platoon. It really is an incredible story. You know who did something good on that? There's a movie on this battle. In case you're wondering, this battle is called the Battle of Ia Drang, or Ao Drang, I-A, and then D-R-A-N-G. There's a great movie about this, a Mel Gibson movie called We Were Soldiers, if you've never seen it. And actually, they nailed it pretty well. You can tell they dug in and tried to make it accurate. It's pretty accurate. Anyway, Lieutenant Colonel Hal Moore knows his platoon out there is cut off. He tries to send a company out there to save them. Well, they get pinned down too. And then the first night comes, and it's nighttime. Imagine the terror. Imagine the fear you feel when you are miles and miles and miles and miles and miles away from the next American base. You are outnumbered. You are surrounded. You are in the jungle. And you have people trying to murder you all night long. And all night long, they could hear the North Vietnamese surrounding their position in a 360-degree surround. They can hear them. And they feel the North Vietnamese probing, looking for weak spots in the line as they have dug in all around, trying to find a way to break through. Lieutenant Colonel Hal Moore, to his credit, does something genius. He has all these heavy machine guns, these M60 machine guns, and they're dug in. And he tells them on the first night, no shooting. You're not allowed to shoot. Why? Because he knows he's outnumbered and surrounded, and he knows the enemy is probing for the weak spots. And if the enemy's probing a spot and they don't get any heavy machine gun fire, they may consider that to be a weak spot. Just keep that in mind. We'll come back to that in just a second. It's a long first night. Then the next day, as dawn breaks, boom, the all-out assault comes. They start trying to swarm and overrun the Americans. Because they're communists, there's not a huge amount of value placed on human life. We run into this a lot when we were fighting the Vietnamese. They would just throw themselves at you, blow themselves up. There's just not a great deal of value placed on human life. One guy, remember, like I said, they didn't know where the machine guns were because Hal Moore had told them, everybody, stop. One guy, you want to know what he did with his heavy machine gun the next day? I'll tell you in one second.
Your daughter doesn't want to talk about why her room is a horrible mess. Your son doesn't want to talk about why he's wearing mismatching socks. Your spouse doesn't want to talk about their bad haircut. Families don't have to talk about everything, but they should talk to plan for an emergency. Pack basic supplies in a go bag, water, canned food, flashlights, batteries, medical supplies, IDs, and some cash. Talk about where you'll meet in case you lose one another. And of course, don't forget to pack the dog treats. Talk to your family and make an emergency plan. Go to nyc.gov/readyny or call 311 to make your family's emergency plan. Brought to you by New York City Emergency Management and the Ad Council.
One machine gunner in this company. He made the North Vietnamese feel his wrath the next day. By the time his M60 ran out of ammo, he had over 100 dead NVA in front of his position. And when he ran out of ammo, he pulled out his 45 and started shooting them. I will finish this battle of Ia Drang next. And then it's time for you and I to have a heart-to-heart conversation about the vaccine and Johnson & Johnson. And blood clots and everything else. And we're finally going to talk about this disaster in Minneapolis today. It is the Jesse Kelly Show, 877-377-4373. Jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Email me your love, your hate, your death threats, your Ask Dr. Jesse questions for Friday, because Friday cometh, and that right soon. Hang on.
Jesse Kelly Show. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
What I think about this is all the press and all the extra y'all do makes this worse.
You think so?
Yes. When people want to protest, they shouldn't do it in front of a police courthouse. Like that. You get what the saying?
I want you to be careful. I want you to be careful. I really
do. Of what?
Of anything that can hit
what?
You. Of anything that can hit you. Look at all the stuff.
What?
Of this.
Of what?
Of this.
Do it look like I'm scared?
No, you don't.
Do it look like I'm scared?
You don't. You don't.
Exactly. Y'all need to get up out of here with all that twisting up the
Well, that was CNN getting schooled at the protest last night. I realized a little of that was blur. We had to beep out some of that for you. Remember, it's a family show here on the Jesse Kelly Show. 877-377-4373. Jesse@jessekellyshow.com. I will get to that in just a few moments. Let's finish the battle of Aya Drang first. All right. It's an all-out assault the next day, but the Americans are better. There's no question about that. You can be very, very proud of this battle. The Americans are better. The Americans are absurdly brave. They're better shots. They're better trained. They're dug in. They are rocking and rolling. We have several instances of hand-to-hand combat at this time. One American died quite literally with his hands around the throat of a North Vietnamese guy who he just killed. I mean, it's that kind of fighting we're dealing with. This is one of the most fierce battles in the history of the United States of America. That's what we're dealing with. 400 Americans versus 1,600 North Vietnamese. But numbers don't lie. Napoleon has this incredible quote. I love it. I need to start using it more on the show. The quote goes, "Quantity has a quality all its own. You can only do so much, right? You can only do so much. We start getting overrun." Hal Moore is forced to get on the radio and say words that are now famous. You're already saying them if you know this battle. If not, you will remember them now. The words are "broken arrow." What does "broken arrow" mean? It is a code word. It is a word you are only allowed, as a commander, you are only allowed to use it in the most dire of circumstances, and you only want to use it in the most dire of circumstances. Broken arrow means this: we are in danger of being overrun and annihilated. It means an American unit is in danger of being overrun and annihilated. It means any single air mission that is going on even remotely close to you is halted. And that air mission is rerouted towards you to bomb the enemy out of your your position. So, okay, no, we're on a bombing run, heading north to Hanoi. Oh, what, broken arrow in this area? Beep, hang a left, Bob, we're heading that way. Everybody, it's all hands on deck. Get there now. We're about to lose everything. Now, that sounds cool, right? And it is really cool. It's cool that we care enough about our troops to do stuff like that. And it's cool that we have the kind of firepower to bring that to bear. And all that's cool. But why, as a commander on the ground, don't you want to use it? Well, remember, you're in danger of being overrun. I want you to take yourself right now and put yourself in a hot air balloon. 1,000 feet above the ground. Can you do that? You're in a hot air balloon. You're 1,000 feet above the ground. And on the left, you're looking down, straight down. On the left, you have people who are close to you. Wife, kids, husband, parents, friends. On the right, you have a bunch of monsters from Lord of the Rings trying to murder the people who are close to you. You have bombs in your hands, little hand bombs. You're going to try to bomb the monsters, right? What if the monsters are already right by your family? Do you think you're going to be in danger of maybe dropping one in the wrong place, hurting somebody you love. The reason you don't want to call a broken arrow is it means you're dropping air power really, really, really close to your own troops. And contrary to what people believe, it's not an exact science when you're flying at 600 miles an hour and dropping a 1,000-pound whatever out of the middle of the sky. It's not exact where that thing goes, and it's not exact where everyone is. Yes, you throw smoke out at your perimeter and stuff like that, but wind shifts. Things change. The battle shifts by the time the bombs drop. Long story short, yes, the airplanes come in and they completely save this unit. We do bomb the North Vietnamese to smithereens and back them off. That's the good news. The bad news is a lot of what we're dropping is napalm. Napalm is a fancy way of saying burning people to death. It is a flammable jelly. It sticks to you like tar, and it just burns until it's done burning. And we napalm our own guys. Not a ton of them, but enough of them. And I'll spare you the details on the napalming. Like I said, if you watched that movie, We Were Soldiers, you know what I'm talking about the details of the napalming. I will say this. What you saw happen to those guys, it was accurate. That's really what happened during the battle. It's unspeakably bad. Reinforcements finally arrive. Hal Moore has been ordered out by his commander. Hal Moore, to his credit, refuses to leave. Disobeys a direct order, will not leave until every single one of his men have left the battlefield. Hal Moore decides he must be the last one off the field of battle. We finally see victory. Hal Moore, last one on a helo, flies out with a great American victory. This is such an important battle in history because this is the point in time when Vietnam really became Vietnam. But it's such an important battle for the Vietnam War because of this. This was a gigantic feel-out battle. We wanted to feel out the North Vietnamese, and they wanted to feel out us. What did the North Vietnamese discover about themselves and about us during the course of this battle? They discovered they don't want to engage Americans in direct combat. It's just not a battle they're going to be able to win. I saw yesterday there was discussions of what should be done with these corporations that are banding together to oppose any GOP efforts at pushing voter ID and things like that. And all of a sudden you have people on the right who are talking about taking away corporate tax breaks for this company and things like that. And of course, half the right is all, I'm not really comfortable with that. I don't think we should do that. Hear me out here. In any battle, in any war, and we are in an ideological war for the future of this country. I don't care how you want to look at it. If you look at it any other way, you're wrong. In any war, you must, absolutely must, get to a place where the enemy considers an action and weighs the cost of that action. After this battle, after 400 Americans fought off 1,600 North Vietnamese, anytime there was a proposal to do an official North Vietnamese army campaign against an American unit, the cost had to be weighed. I would really love to attack Base X over here with my 1,000 men. Oh, man, if we do that, though, what are they going to be able to do back to us? Are we even going to be able to beat them? I mean, we remember what happened at the Battle of Ai Drang. We sent 1,600 men, and then we lost. The right for far, far, far too long has not given a cost to the enemy. That time must change now.
You know, your house smells. Don't get mad. My house smells too. I'm not indicting you. I'm sure you keep a clean home, but just time means you're going to acquire smells, whether those are cooking smells that get in your paint, your carpet, Maybe their animal smells. Maybe you're a smoker or someone else was. Just living creates smells. I didn't realize that my home had a smell to it until I got my first Eden Pure Thunderstorm, the greatest air purifier I've ever owned in my life. This thing, I had it plugged in for 2 hours. I came back in the room and my air smelled so clean. I now own three of them. I'm not making that up. This thing has absolutely changed me on top of what it's done for my allergies. Go get one. Get two. Be like me and get three. Go to EdenPureDeals.com. Make sure you use the promo code Jesse. That gets you $10 off and free shipping. EdenPureDeals.com, promo code Jesse.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.